The Oregon Fringe Festival gets underway in earnest in Ashland this afternoon. OFF is 5 days of edgy performances and theater and music on and off campus at Southern Oregon University. One of the featured items today is a theater work presented outdoors called Cabin 12, as in Cabin 12 at summer camp. Aurelia Grierson is the Cabin 12 playwright, director, and actor. She's here with us to talk about her work. We also get an overview of musical performances coming with Mitchell Karlstrom, music producer for OFF and a student performer. And, of course, Jared Brown, the OFF curator, is here with signs in hand for Fringe Festival events. Jared always seems to have signs. Welcome all.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Here. Aurelia, let's start with you. Can we assume you're a theater student?
Yes, I am a theater major at SOU, going to be graduating here coming June.
Wow, so things are coming up fast for you.
Yeah.
I'll ask you about how busy you are in general, but let's talk about the development of Cabin 12.
Absolutely. This is an idea that I've had for a while. I started directing in summer of 2017 with a play called Horse Girls by Jenny Rachel Weiner. And I've pretty much kept my focus on stories about the young femme experience. And so Cabin 12 is based loosely on my own experiences at summer camp, and it is an audience interactive piece that is structured like an end of camp talent show skit presentation run by these six girls. And as the night goes on, it becomes clear that something has happened in the cabin that is maybe testing these friendships and pulling the girls in different directions.
A couple of different directions you could go just as a storyteller about mm-hmm. that. And I wonder if summer camp was overall a positive experience for you when you were younger or something else.
Yeah, I was a camp goer. And it, like I said, there's certain autobiographical elements of the story. Overall positive, definitely enjoyed getting to learn how to craft and do all the outdoor things. But socially, it was a difficult time, I'd say. It's very hard to be different in environments of uniformity, and that's something that this play touches on.
What kind of differences are represented in the play?
Without giving too much away, there's...
Well, if you can give us a basic story.
Absolutely. That there's the opening of the play, you have the girls come out and they're leading the chants and everything's good. And then as time goes on, the girls start bullying each other and picking on each other for the ways in which they're different. And there's a big reveal that there's a special relationship between two of the girls that is not being accepted by the other girls in the cabin.
So there's the story that goes on the stage, but then you invite people on stage with you?
Yes. So from the very start of the play, we ask the audience to engage in a call and response chant that is often done at camp. And then they get to come up and play tug of war if they want to. They get to be involved in some of the skits, and we have some of the actors read embarrassing stories from the middle school era of their lives.
So this must have been a lot of fun, but I can imagine there's also some room for some feelings of like, you know, I'm dredging up an old memory here.
Absolutely. Every day when we rehearse, we would talk about where we were at emotionally, and we would always start the development process by talking about some of the harder parts of that time of life and how it's so hard to be different and how much feelings of shame really play into our decision-making and how do we unlearn that? Where do we learn that? Where do those things come from, especially for young women? Was something that we worked tirelessly on when we were developing the piece.
And what age group is represented here? I mean, is Cabin 12 indicate? Is 12 sort of the indicator?
Yeah,
of the age?
12 is the indicator of the age group. All of the actors are students or former students, so it's the actors are age range 18, 26. I like watching adult women play younger. It feels like there's something that for them to explore that's really neat, and I love to have that playful performance aspect.
Well, and this is outdoors at the Thalden Pavilion next to the farm at SOU, isn't it?
Yes.
And Science Works.
So will there be a little campfire going or something?
Yeah, there'll be a little campfire. And if you show up for the pre-show and donate to Rainbow Camp, a summer camp for queer and questioning youth, you'll get a little s'more. And you can roast the s'more on the campfire, and we have vegan and dairy-free and gluten-free options available upon request.
Wow, truly interactive theater with Cabin 12 at the Oregon Fringe Festival. Aurelia Grierson is the playwright, director, and an actor in the show. Mitchell Karlstrom is here with us as well. He's the music producer for OFF and a performer in some of the works as well. Talk about how many different musical acts there are at the Fringe Festival, if you would, Mitchell.
There are quite a few this year. The festival's traditionally largely theater, but we've been pushing in to get more musicians, and we've got percussion groups traveling from every time zone in the country. We've got.
You are a percussionist yourself, so I'm sensing a kinship here.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I like percussion, and in general, the percussionists are drawn to avant-garde, exploratory music, and which fits really well with our unconventional music, unconventional spaces. We love those sort of things generally.
Why would that be? I mean, you can do a lot of different things with a lot of different instruments. Why do you say percussionists are more drawn to unconventional music?
I would say our art is, as far as classical music goes, is relatively young. Most of the founders of our art are still alive. A lot of the great works are still being written. No, and we don't have a clear direction yet, so any direction is valid.
So are all the acts you mentioned, is it percussion? So is it mostly percussion, the musical acts at Oregon Fringe Festival?
Yeah, mostly percussion. There are non-percussion.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a sound sculpturist named Tatsuya Nakatani. He's technically a percussionist, but he also does some other things. And then on Saturday at 6 and 7 at the library, there's a composer, a performer named Ryan Fogelman, who's doing this like live scoring to a projection.
It's called Now Then Never, is that it?
Yeah. So I think he's using Max for that. Max is a computer program that like takes what you play and puts it on the screen. Like there are different algorithms that are lined up to what you do, and then like so you populate the image as you play, which is really sweet.
So an algorithm is making the images from the music that's getting played.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Wow.
Very, very cool.
It's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm. He performed a similar work, Lovely Sweet Dreams, last year on campus here. And Ryan's really, really interesting young composer. I think he's like maybe 21 years old, maybe. But his music is so, so mature.
How far afield did you get to go, Mitchell Carlson? You talked about how it's generally been a theatery kind of thing, but you're trying to get more musical acts in. I mean, how far and wide did you send out feelers, inquiries, requests for people to come to be part of the musical scene at the Oregon Fringe Festival?
Diversity. I mean, we're trying to get as many people as we can. Some people just that we know that we can ask to come out and help. My quartet, you know, is in Indiana and come from Montana, but they're studying in Colorado. And it's just the people we know and the connections we have, and it's easy to bring those people in.
And is it generally new music, recent music, or are there new takes on existing works as part of the menu?
Yes, yes, and yes. we like new music. We like what are quote unquote standards, but still, you know, all within the last 50 years, basically, there's not much written before that for most percussionists.
We just talked about Brian Fogelman at the Ashland Library. Who else would you list as among the must sees of the Oregon Fringe Festival on the musical side?
I would say
any group you're in, of course.
Naturally, yeah. Those are going to be the best. No, they're all going to be wonderful. Nakatani Gong Orchestra on Friday evening is going to be very cool. That's at Levity Circus Collective at 8 o'clock Friday night. I would say the Minus One Quartet on Sunday is doing a sound experience called Strange and Sacred Noise by John Luther Adams at 5 in the painting studio, and that is quite an experience. And if you can make it to that, I would highly recommend that.
I'm intrigued by the name Minus One Quartet. Is this a trio?
No, we are a quartet. The problem is we were never all in the same place at the same time, and so we were always minus one player. and so we just the name stuck, and we became Minus One.
So if you're not all in the same place at the same time, I mean, does technology allow you to do things like, given the lag, can you do things like practice percussion through Skype?
We can. We try to pick music that we can put together relatively easily, or music that involves click tracks, which allow us to stay in time and practice our parts individually. And when we come together, it does not take long to put things together.
The Oregon Fringe Festival, back on the Jefferson Exchange. Mitchell Carlstrom is the music producer for OFF and a student performer himself. Aurelia Grierson. I keep wanting to call you Grierson. It is Grierson, isn't it?
Yes, Grierson.
Okay. Aurelia Grierson is the playwright, director, and an actor in the theater work Cabin 12 that'll be starting tonight, is it?
Yeah, tonight, Thursday, Saturday, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Jared Brown is with us as well. He's the curator of the Oregon Fringe Festival, and you're welcome to join us with questions and comments. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Aurelia, how time-consuming is this to I mean, you mentioned you're a senior, you graduate in less than two months as I look at the calendar. So how are you fitting in the things you need to do for Fringe Festival, including creating the piece from nothing, to the rest of the work you have to do just to graduate?
Yeah, well, I'm actually just doing my last bit of schooling, which is the internship at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So my focus has mostly been over at the festival. My classes are done. So getting to rehearse this in the evenings and kind of work around my OSF schedule has actually not been too hard. And we've started developing the piece back in the fall because I knew that there was going to be a bit of a time crunch. We've been in rehearsal properly for only 3 weeks. So we put this piece together rather quickly just because of everyone else's time schedules and how it all works out for casting and things like that.
So you've certainly learned one of the keys to good theater production, which is to plan in advance.
Always, yes.
Uh-huh. And so how I'm curious about the internship at the Shakespeare Festival. What do you do there?
I'm understudying Alice in Alice in Wonderland and understudying the female ingenue in Indecent.
Great. Okay. So acting work, any stage directing work or anything else?
Not at the festival, but it's through the trainee program, which is a relationship between SOU and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Mitchell Carlstrom, same question to you about how you juggle what you need to do for the Oregon Fringe Festival with your schoolwork. I don't know which year you're in school, but...
Yeah, I'm a first-year master's student, and basically just planning my day out hour by hour. I like to make lists. And I make them a week in advance where this hour I'll be doing this, this hour I'll be doing this. And they never go as planned, but it helps keep my life on track a little bit.
Aurelia Grierson, geez, I'm going to get one of the vowels
right. It's a rough name, and there's lots of sounds.
Aurelia Grierson, have you done, I'm wondering in the preparation of Cabin 12, if it was just you writing it, or if there was writing and some improv involved as well, because you got some improv certainly with the audience.
Yeah, how it actually started was that I got a group of actors together that I've worked with before, some of whom have continued on to do their work in the show properly. But we got together and essentially just talked about some of the themes that we wanted to cover in the show, and they would improvise camp skits based on the themes that we talked about. And I would write down what worked, I would record them, watch them over again, and then after that was done, I would write out the scene and then present it to them next time, and they would read through it. And so it was very much a collaborative effort with my cast. And they were all very instrumental in creating the piece.
And so you mentioned the kinds of things the audience will do. So there's not a lot of improv there, it sounds like. You're giving them things to do?
Yeah, they'll have specific instructions, whether that's to pull the rope or just hold the stick for the candy store skit. But they will get to be interacting with the girls, and there's a lot of audience interaction, a lot of back and forth.
What is it like to play 12 years old again? I imagine in some ways it's freeing, but it's probably also a little sweat-inducing in some ways.
Well, the girls actually really like it. They talk about how it's a part of their lives that sort of in their early 20s they're kind of reconciling with, and they get to come back and explore parts of themselves that maybe they pushed aside or that they didn't want to look at, and now they get to look at it in a more objective way, and bringing that to a theater piece is, I think, is in a lot of ways very cathartic for them.
There are three performances of Cabin 12, is that right?
Three performances. You got tonight, Thursday, Saturday at 8 p.m.
And so what determines, Jared Brown, how many performances each one of the items that you get for Oregon Fringe Festival gets performed?
Sure. So there are a few things in my like brain rubric. One is... whether they're a student performance. Mm-hmm. Some student performances are 15 minutes, and I try to give them four or five opportunities to perform, and then some performances are an hour, so they probably get 2 to 3. And then some are 90 minutes to 2 hours, and they probably get only two. Just because it takes so much time to put on that kind of show, and our venues, are classrooms during the day mostly. And so the amount of time it takes to, like, turn that classroom into a venue and then actually put on the show, like, it's really, really, really short. Shorter shows get more time. And then, of course, there are professional groups that come in. I was speaking about that last week. And I like to give those groups opportunities to at least recoup their expenses a little bit. So a lot of those groups will present off campus multiple times. And if I think the content is something that students will be interested in, then I will do it a few times.
But this is not a ticketed event, we were saying last week, right?
No, not a ticketed event. There's suggested donation at a lot of the events, suggested. But
I noticed that this is the second time you've been in to talk about the Oregon Fringe Festival, and you have a sign with you again today for Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that the venues are kind of like, you know, they're venues for a little time, and then they're not again.
Right. So, for example, last night we did our opening ceremony at the Ashland Public Library, and we had, you know, two signs that say, Fringe event here. And those signs are now gone, and it's a library again. And yeah, so tonight when we're back there, we'll put the signs back up, and then they got to be taken back down. It's just complicated.
You know, I have two pages in front of me with three columns, each all filled with the events of the Oregon Fringe Festival. Is it all impressed in your head, though? I mean, is it all totally imprinted up there?
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it for about a year.
All right, so tomorrow, 3 p.m., what can we see?
Nothing.
Darn, he got me. What are the high traffic times? I mean, you're trying to do generally evening things?
So during the week, during the weekdays, it's evening time. Mm-hmm. And then on the weekends, it's from noon to midnight.
What are the repeating venues? And I know I asked this again last time you were here, but where are the places where people can go? And if they hang around for a little while,
something will happen.
Yeah.
The Digital Media Center down by the, SOU dorms, that's down by Market of Choice, that area. Check that out. Definitely on, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And then the Levity Circus Collective, starting at 4 p.m. on Saturday, there's a circus show for kids, and then there's a dance performance at 7:30, and then there's another show at 10 for adults, all circus, aerial stuff, pretty cool. If you hang out at the Center for Visual Arts campus here at SOU, you'll see a ton of great music, a lot of percussionists, but also musicians like Tessa Brinkman, who are on the radio all the time. She's doing a really, really interesting piece that she wrote called Bach/Grown Men Sing. It's pretty sweet.
Tessa Brinkman, a flautist, but also works with Terry Longshore, who is a percussionist, who I know we've had Mitchell in with Terry in the past. So are you doing any of the work with Tessa?
I am not doing any other work with Tessa.
Okay.
But. Yeah. So Tessa and Terry are playing today at the Hannon Library. They're doing three performances of a really short, like 15-minute work.
Escabito Negro?
Yeah, Escabito Negro. It's kind of a happening, so like a musical event that's impromptu for viewers or for people at the library who are studying students. Whether they like it or not, it'll be there. So.
Aurelia, Aurelia like Grierson, one of those days I'll get the name pronounced correctly the first try through. The process, I know you're coming to the end of your time as a student at Southern Oregon University, so gotten used to some of the things of the theater program, but what's it like to have your stuff performed on stage, things that you wrote?
Oh, it's thrilling. Last year, I debuted an adaptation I made of Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret by Judy Blume, and that was the first time having my writing performed. And I knew I wanted to do something original this year because that was so enjoyable and delightful, and just being able to share something that you made with people, that's like what the whole art exchange is about. And this is a particularly precious project to me that I really cannot wait to share with people. It's delightful.
It is called Cabin 12. It'll be performed at the Thalden Pavilion tonight, tomorrow, and
Saturday
at Southern Oregon University, a part of the Oregon Fringe Festival, where Jared Brown is the curator. Jared, it was good to see you here.
Thank you.
Aurelia Grierson, thank you for joining us. Mitchell Carlstrom, the music producer, good to have you as well. Best of luck with the continued list of long offerings, which are at OregonFringeFestival.org.
Yep, and our Facebook page. Check it out.